Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of how to transform culture and build trusting teams in multifamily. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, David Stanky, the National Manager of Property Operations with Progress Residential. Welcome, David.
Hey, Paul. Love the show. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, you're so welcome. We're honored to have you here. And this topic that you wanted to discuss, how to transform culture and build trusting teams in multifamily, let's just start out and let our listeners know, what do you believe that means? What does that mean? And then we'll kind of take a deeper dive.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, sometimes I like to start out by defining what culture actually is. You can see a lot of mission statements and value statements, but really it's kind of the way a company talks and walks. So it's a collection of values and expectations and practices that really help guide a company to make decisions, right? So I think of, okay, what is the lens that's being used, you know, and is that lens being used to make the right decisions, you know, within the organization? So, you know, this is a pretty timely topic because, you know, especially in recent years, you know, more and more people are wanting to find a strong culture as part of their search. I think a recent survey showed almost 90% of those looking for a job right now, you know, really looking for a strong company culture. So really what used to be kind of a nice to have has really become really the predominant driving force in today's job market. And I think that especially applies to multifamily. You know, culture, you know, I've been a part of, you know, the largest organization in our space. I've worked for a startup property management company where I helped lead a division there. And so I've kind of had a unique perspective on this, Paul, looking at it from the ground up in terms of building a culture from scratch. And then, you know, being part of a multi-year culture transformation at one of my previous companies. So the one thing I'll say that ties the two together is it takes time. So long ago, before I even started in this awesome industry that we're in, I was in restaurant, hospitality, and the fitness industry. And, you know, I was a personal trainer and trained clients. And, you know, if someone wanted to get in shape with me, I'd say, all right, well, start from scratch, give yourself 10 hours of total work for the month. Now, if I just stopped there and they went to the gym the next day and worked out for 10 hours and came back and asked me, hey, am I in shape now? I'd say, well, no, you're not. But if the same person put in 20 minutes a day for 30 days, came back and said, am I in shape now? I'd say, well, absolutely. Now you're in shape. And they'd say, well, it's the same amount of time, Dave. I'd say, well, yeah, it is. But the difference is it was consistency over time. Mm-hmm. And that is the exact same formula that it takes to actually transform culture. It takes time. So the way I kind of look at this too, you know, there are different initiatives that can take place. There are different programs that can be put into place, but ultimately there's a top-down and a bottom-up approach because, you know, our corporate leaders and our C-suite folks can put together initiatives and they can launch them and hope that they'll be successful. But unless there's people from the ground that are, you know, that are closest to our site levels that are actually engaging in a lot of these initiatives, you know, the culture will never be fully realized. It takes nourishing in order for these things to take place. So thankfully, a couple years ago when I was going through this culture transformation with one of my previous companies, we did a lot of different things. We tried things out. And the one thing that I'll say is that what really, really worked is identifying people in the local and regional markets that would be our early adopters. You know, most people are not early adopters. You know, most people like to wait for someone else to try something first before they jump in full steam, right? I think that's very true in the technology world. Most of us, you know, might want to wait for a friend to try out that new cell phone before we actually go out and buy it. So if we are able to identify those people first, those that are eager and willing and able to engage in new culture initiatives, that's paramount. Because what happens is that they cascade that message to their local teams, and especially multifamily, where, you know, very much often, you know, our teams are very scattered, and we try very hard, obviously, to keep messages on pace and keep people engaged. But, you know, we're very busy, and to have local leadership engaged in this process is pivotal. So, you know, finding those local folks that are able to cascade the message is absolutely paramount. And then culture needs to be really, really defined. It needs to be expressly defined. You know, it needs to be clear on who we are and what our values are. Because then what happens is then the stories come out from that. And, you know, we went from recognizing folks from the cultural perspective, you know, once a year in an award ceremony. And very quickly we learned we need to do this much more often. And so we switched it to quarterly and even monthly at one point. So, you know, we got together, we started doing these events, and, you know, we would recognize a lot of our team members for a lot of the actions that they've done that represent our culture. And so, you know, stories would come up that I still remember to this day, 5-6 years later. We had a leasing consultant that was gone tour with a young family, and one of the small children accidentally fell into the pool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without even thinking twice, she just jumped right in, took the child, got him out. And I probably saved the child's life at that point. And, you know, when she was telling this story, she did a lot better job than I did. I missed some of the details, but those were the highlights. You know, everybody in the room was just engaged, and people were getting emotional. And again, this was representative of our core values, that we service others. And, you know, in those moments, you know, we had dozens and dozens of stories that would come out that were very similar to that. And that was kind of the aha moment. You know, we had all these stories independently, and until we actually collected them together and shared them, you know, we really understood, okay, we've got something that is very authentic, very genuine, and people are connecting to it. It's not just words on a wall. The actions that we're doing actually do represent the culture that we've tried to set out. So, you know, having that consistent recognition, you know, we do this for a lot of our, you know, KPI related items and our financial performance, but to actually separate and acknowledge those that are doing well on behalf of our culture, I think honestly, Paul, that is a game changer for any organization, especially multifamily, because we have stories that come from maintenance, stories that come from our on-site teams, and then you collect them all, and then you have one session per quarter where you can actually share these stories and acknowledge these folks that are doing this work. It's really quite incredible. So, you know, again, it's a two-tiered approach. It does take time. You have to share stories, and you have to be asking what you're doing to help nourish the culture along the way. It just doesn't happen overnight, but you have to be active and intentional with that process. And over time, again, you start to see that, again, the seeds that get planted along the way start to bear fruit, and then it becomes sustainable and it takes on a life of its own.
Yeah, all of that to me is intriguing. By the way, we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but I wanted to ask you this question. When you're looking at changing culture within an organization, I would imagine, and maybe I'm wrong, that it really needs to be from the top down. It's not something that maybe someone at a lower level within the company can say, I want to change the culture. But if they wanted to, what could they do?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're exactly right, Paul. So when I said, you know, it has to come top down, it means it has to be just expressly defined. So, you know, that's when our senior level leadership creates the strategy and then implements the strategy, creates programs around their culture that they know are going to work. For example, you can't have someone on site develop a leadership academy to help identify leaders in the company who are the up and coming, right? That requires a strategy from the top down. So once those programs are put in place, then it's up to the on-site folks to really say, okay, I identify other leaders that I know are up and coming. I know that my leasing consultant is the next assistant manager, or perhaps the next marketing manager, or hey, this person's going to end up as a senior leader in accounting. I'm going to nominate that person to take part in our leadership academy. And so, you know, I think part of that engagement is knowing that, hey, everyone has a role and everyone has a stake and a responsibility to help drive the culture in the right direction. And when we talk about the onsite folks engagement, it's really knowing that, hey, I'm looking out for all of my team members to get them where they need to be. And I know that our senior level folks have put together these programs and these academies that I can help kind of nourish along the way. Or I could perhaps even, you know, buy my coworker a swag hat, you know, get them some stuff that is actually going to help shape their development into the organization. So, you know, it's really a twofold approach, but again, it's got to be sincere. It's got to be genuine. It's got to be from the heart, from the top down. And then, you know, naturally you'll get that engagement from everyone else in the company.
All right. That's great information. We're going to have to break it here for this segment. We're going to be right back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we are discussing the topic of how to transform culture and build trusting teams in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, David Stanky, the National Manager of Property Operations with Progress Residential. Before we go back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, David, we talked a lot in the first segment about the topic of how to transform culture and building trusting teams in multifamily. We talked really about culture and transforming culture and why that's important. Let's talk in this segment about trusting teams and building trusting teams. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been a part of some really great teams, and I've also been part of some not great teams. And, you know, I think over the course of, you know, one's career in multifamily, you learn to find the good in everything, even in those teams that weren't as trusting. And so, you know, I think what you take from that is, you know, well, you know, we didn't have this in that particular team dynamic, or we could have had more of that. And so for me, you know, I look back and I think, okay, what did I have in those really trusting teams where we all had just, you know, a great amount of support for one another. And, you know, what did those leaders do to create an environment that really, you know, provided that sense of trust? And, you know, I've had some great leaders that have, you know, helped really build that psychological safety net. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, at any given point, we would ask ourselves, okay, can I raise my hand at any given moment and ask kind of the following question? You know, I don't know. I need some help, or I made a mistake. You know, are we able to raise our hand and ask that question without any fear of, you know, humiliation or even reprisal? And if we don't have that environment, there's a good chance that, you know, people are hiding their mistakes, and those cracks can really cause tremendous damage over time. And, you know, I know that even when I was in an environment that did not have a trusting team environment, where I really didn't want to raise my hand to admit I made a mistake or I needed some help, you know, those little mistakes compound over time. And then before you know it, you know, everything starts to crumble. So, you know, at that point, you have to understand as a leader, you have to ask yourself, do my team members feel comfortable to ask those questions? Am I providing the type of environment where they feel safe to ask those questions? And have I provided a level of trustworthiness for them to be comfortable in that environment? You know, because so often, sometimes as leaders, we get put into a leadership position and assume that the team has to earn our trust, where it's really the exact opposite. You know, we have to provide trust to our team members. You know, we're almost interviewing with them to build trust over time. I had a community manager years ago who was really the embodiment of trust personified. He would do anything and everything for his team. And over time, his team would do anything and everything for him. And so I remember during the pandemic, we were, you know, really short on our maintenance staff. We were short on vendors. I'm sure everyone can relate to that. And, you know, I showed up to the property, and I found him in a t-shirt, and he had paint all over him. And I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He's like, "Well, you know, we're short today, and we've got two turns that have to be done. I'm helping the team do a full paint." And I said, I just looked at him. I said, "I am proud of you. That is fantastic." And, you know, if I had more time, I would have gotten up there and finished the paint with him. But then I just watched that action among many others. And, you know, I realized, wow, he does this all the time. He didn't even let me know, and I just happened to show up. What else is he doing that is providing that element of trust with his team, knowing that if anything happens at any given point, his team knows that he is willing to jump in and get in the fire with them at any point, and not just say, "Hey, I'll make a call and find someone to do the work," but in those cases, get in there and actually do it himself. And it's no surprise that his team not only trusted him, but they were able to provide that same level of trust with their future teams. Almost everyone on his staff had been promoted within that following year, because he was laying the foundation for all of them to know what a trusting team looks like. And so when they're put into leadership positions, they're able to duplicate that, you know, with their future teams. And, you know, this is not a practice that is easily understood. I think in recent decades, we found, and the studies support this, that we've seen a big decline in emotional intelligence. And, you know, that really that soft skill ability to understand people and to, you know, harbor your ability to understand someone else's well-being. And one of the unfortunate byproducts of that is our access to technology. It is a double-edged sword, obviously. In multifamily, we're able to use technology to help free up a lot of our workload. I mean, we're all probably thankful we don't use, you know, guest cards that are written down on paper and trying to track move-ins, you know, with hard copy files. And, you know, we're probably very thankful that work orders aren't written out on post-it notes, and we're able to, you know, automate and streamline those things so we can spend more time focusing on our residents. But, you know, technology is a double-edged sword, as we know. And so we've seen this decrease in emotional intelligence because of access of technology. So, you know, that being said, if we're able to realize that, hey, this is an area that we can focus on to develop ourselves, then, you know, we're not only going to be more attractive in the job market, but also within our team structure, we're going to realize that the fruits of that are going to really pay off. And, you know, that comes along with culture. We talked about that. If you have a strong culture, you're going to be able to have an environment where you can build strong teams. I always know that, hey, any manager I've had that has been successful spends more time catching people doing the right things compared to the wrong things. And I'm sure we've all have that person that every time they call or an email pops up, you see their name, you automatically associate some type of reaction to that. Hopefully it's positive. Hopefully, hey, this is a note of encouragement, or hey, this is a note of that I'm going to be excited to read, and not something that you're going to push to the later end of the day and pretend you didn't see it, or flip the voicemail because you just don't have the energy to focus on that type of interaction. But you know, catching people doing the right thing, I think, helps build a trusting team as well, because again, they can trust that when you're coming to them with some feedback, it's going to be encouraging and helpful and productive, and you're not going to be known as that leader or that person that is automatically is associated with maybe a negative physical reaction. So, you know, those are just a few things. You know, I would also say, you know, learn who people are on your team. You've got to understand what makes them tick. You know, what are their passions? What gets them up in the morning? What are their skill sets? Are they in the right position? And even if they're not, you know, are they doing things within their role that are going to help them in their future? We've had leasing consultants that have been really great on the marketing side. They've put together some really fantastic and creative marketing efforts at the properties, but they just couldn't close a lease to save their life. And so, you know, in that time that they're there, are we nourishing the areas of their skill set in which they're able to, you know, really, you know, showcase? You know, we have so many talented people in this industry. It's not, again, I, like many others, Paul, I came to multifamily by accident. I got a degree in political science, and I decided to become a leasing consultant almost 10 years ago. It wasn't what I went to school for, but the first thing I noticed is everyone around me had such a unique and different background. There was so much diversity, and, you know, I think that's one of the things I fell in love with this industry, was that sense of diversity. But in the same breath, I realized, wow, there's so much talent here. How do you harbor all this? How do you get it going in the right direction? And how do you kind of double down on all these folks' strengths to ensure that, again, everyone is feeling, you know, feeling empowered and, you know, feeling very and satisfied in their role. And that was a challenge in and of itself. And so, so I would, you know, based on that experience, I just would encourage every leader to know their teams more than just the job that they're doing and the performance that they're doing, but to understand really kind of what makes them tick and ultimately what's going to provide them the highest level of satisfaction in their role.
Well, we've got about a minute and a half left. I wanted to just ask you again, when we're talking about building trusting teams, that has to come from the top down, no matter where you are in the organization, if you manage a team on a site on-site level or whether you're the CEO of the company. And one of the things that I hear you saying, and I've heard other guests say this before when we talk about it, is you have to kind of lead by example. And that's where you gain that trust. We've got about a minute left. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I always used to say this, and I still do to this day, you know, as a leader, you are either a thermostat or a thermometer. You either go into a room and you are that temperature or you set that temperature. And so you've got to decide, am I going to be the type of person that enters a space and am I going to dial things down? Do I need to dial things up? Am I going to be the one that's going to change the trajectory of the room? Or am I someone who walks in and is just going to absorb the energy and just, you know, be the person that's just sitting in the back? And I think that analogy has always helped with me because I have to always keep that in mind, that I set the temperature and I know the teams are looking to me for answers and also to make sure that they feel safe and that they know that I have a direction. And so I always like using that analogy because it really, really paints that picture, especially when I became a young leader and I actually had a team to manage. Thermometer versus thermostat. Which one are you?
Well, I love that analogy and I'm assuming that you're the thermostat.
I hope so. I've been a thermometer too many times to realize I needed to be a thermostat.
All right. Well, we're gonna stop here for this segment. We're going to be back after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of how to transform culture and build trusting teams in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, David Stanky, the National Manager of Property Operations with Progress Residential. But before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, David, we talked a lot in the first segment about transforming culture and why culture is important. In the second segment, we talked about building trusting teams. This segment, let's talk a little bit about something that is, I think is a major concern with the employment situation going, that the and the issues with the shortages of employees that the multifamily industry is currently seeing, and especially after the pandemic, and the topic of recruitment. Let's talk about recruiting employees. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so it's a great point, Paul. I think we've all seen in the last few years the challenges that we've seen both on, well, really what merges as the recruitment and retention dilemma. And, you know, what I will say is that I think, you know, acknowledging the pandemic did open up a conversation between, you know, both what the employee is looking for as well as what the employer can provide. You know, recruitment is always going to be part of any growing business. As a business grows, there's more opportunities. You're going to need more roles to be filled. And so, you know, the one thing I always say is, you know, control what can be controlled, because natural turnover happens. You know, people move and there's life changes and the business grows. And, you know, sometimes even someone can outgrow the organization, right? I always think about, like, you know, people outgrowing a neighborhood. You've got small children, you kind of, you know, build your life in a certain neighborhood, and then the kids grow and they leave and you're empty nesters, and then you move to the beach. You know, so sometimes that happens. But, you know, recruitment is expensive. You know, I think I've seen estimates ranging from 1.5 to 2 times salary to replace, and employees. So it's very costly from a financial perspective, but then also from a morale perspective. But we're seeing folks that, you know, are not able to stay with the organization too long, and we're having to constantly backfill and recruit those roles. So again, you know, plays into retention. But, you know, on the recruiting side, there's a couple of things that I've found that have been quite helpful. I think one, if you start by recruiting your internal employees first, that pays off big dividends. You know, we've, you know, in previous episodes, Paul, I know you've had guests talk about stay interviews, along with consistent check-ins throughout the course of the year, really ensuring that, you know, our current team members are constantly the first in line when it comes to new opportunities that we wouldn't necessarily look externally for. And if we are looking externally for internal hires, you know, we've got to ask ourselves, you know, what is it that an external candidate would bring to the table that an internal candidate does not? You know, sometimes we're so quick to get as many interviews as we can scheduled, and external, internal, and a combination of both. And, you know, that's all good. But we've got to ask those fundamental questions first. And that, again, ties all the way back to culture and how are we actually providing an environment that is going to allow for internal growth, you know, and building our bench. You know, do we have a strong bench? Do we have programs, and do we have leadership development courses and academies in place to kind of get those leaders to grow in their career and take on the next opportunity? You know, so starting with the internal recruitment, I think is critical. You know, another thing that I've noticed too over the years is, you know, you have a lot of companies that have referral programs, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, internal referral programs are very beneficial for two reasons. One, you get, you know, really competent, mostly competent friends, family, and former colleagues of our employees that can join the company. And, you know, anytime you put your name on that referral, there's always a sense of pride, but also responsibility with that. Another thing is, you know, you can notice that when the employee referrals start to decline, and we're not seeing a lot of those happen, you know, there's information in that. You know, the old adage that even in silence, there is information. You know, if we have a program in place and we're not seeing a lot of referrals, you know, that might be a temperature check to say, hey, maybe things in the organization aren't as good as we would perceive because, you know, our own employees aren't inviting their referrals to come over, you know, to the company. So, you know, that's one indicator. If you don't have a nice referral program, you know, you set one up, but then you monitor that, you know, based on volume. You know, do we have a lot of referrals coming in? You know, one thing, Paul, that's helped me over the years is to stay as close to that recruiting process as possible. You know, many of us in multifamily, we have a dedicated recruiter that often will help do a lot of that vetting and sourcing of candidates for us. But, you know, we get busy, and sometimes we rely a little bit too much on our recruiters to do all that heavy lifting for us. And, you know, what I found in the past, you know, with some really great recruiters that I've worked with, you know, they would come to your office or have a phone call with you, and, you know, almost you provide them the vision on what we're looking for this particular role. And there's a lot of variables that are in play with that, because, you know, you might say, well, for this leasing consultant position, I'm looking for X, Y, and Z. But, you know, you would only know the team dynamic. You know, maybe you have two other leasing consultants that are, you know, industry veterans. They're high performers. We still use the term shark, I assume. Maybe there are two sharks in the tank, and you need someone that can maybe offset or complement some of those skill sets. You know, maybe you've had great success with sourcing candidates from outside of the industry. You know, I always like looking at, you know, organizations that had really like top-notch training programs, and it could be in restaurant or hospitality, right? Maybe it's a local coffee shop. We had a guy years and years ago. We would go across the street, and this is when I was on site. We would go across the street and get coffee every single morning. And we had this guy that just was so high energy every single day, very engaging, very, very talkative. And we were seeing this guy for almost a year before I was sitting with my manager, and I thought, well, why don't we ask this guy if he's interested in doing something different? You know, because we just never have seen him have a bad day. I think a lot of those skills would easily translate into what we do at this community. And so, you know, we pitched him, he started, and within 3 months he was making President's Club. He just couldn't stop getting leases. And, you know, we may have not ever found this person, in the traditional sourcing methods, but, you know, the, kind of gives credit to that boots on the ground approach as well. To always be aware of your surroundings and always be recruiting, right? Look around for those opportunities that, hey, you might know someone that you've built a relationship with, and now they know you. You're not someone who's nameless and faceless on a LinkedIn profile or an Indeed site that, you know, doesn't have that connection. And, you know, you're able to see someone over time, where sometimes in the interview process, in the recruiting process, we might get a few minutes on the phone with them. We might meet them in person. We think everything's all right, but we haven't really seen that develop over time. You know, which kind of leads me to that next point of, you know, don't underestimate the value of casual interviewing as well. You know, this would be a completely separate interview from, let's say, the introduction interview where we're getting to know the candidate. You know, spend some time, if you're local to the market, to have some coffee with that person and get to know them a little bit, right? Talk about work, talk about the role, but really kind of understand, hey, what's this person like in a more relaxed environment, in natural conversation, when maybe they're not scripted to say a certain thing. We can really get to know them a little bit better. And you don't need to know everything, but you just need to know enough, hey, what is this person like in a casual setting that I can better understand on how this is going to translate into the role itself. So, you know, we're also in this age of instant gratification. And so, you know, I found that, you know, keeping the candidate experience very smooth, quick, and efficient is also very important in today's market. I think, you know, especially on the maintenance side, we're really losing a lot of folks, and we have traditionally, you know, to the trades and to various different industries. And Paul, you know, I'm located here in Phoenix, and every time it gets around late spring, going into summer, all of our HVAC companies come out and they're doing a lot of hiring, and you know, they pay quite well. And so, so how do we combat that in terms of, you know, how do we ensure that, again, we're having consistent growth on our maintenance side with respect to our roles, and we're not just easily losing folks to the trades, where, you know, for us, it's more of a challenge to get folks from the trades to come over, unless there's that component of seasonality, right? So are we providing proper, you know, CAMT certification courses? Are we getting our maintenance people in the positions to also be successful, where we're not having to backfill too many of those? And then we go into maybe the non-traditional routes for our candidates externally on the maintenance side. What resources are we looking for to bring people into our industry? Are we going to the trade shows ourselves? What is attractive about multifamily that we can get someone who might have gone into plumbing or electrical or what have you to come over to multifamily and maybe lead a site on the maintenance side? You know, one of the good things I've seen from this pandemic is that, you know, we've upped our pay on the maintenance side. You know, it used to be, hey, we've saved some money on labor for this upcoming year. Well, now we're actually paying a lot of our folks, I think, what they really deserve for the work that they've been producing. And so I think that's going to help with, again, attracting candidates to come to multifamily from that perspective.
All right. Well, we're gonna break it here. We're going to talk a little bit more in our final segment of this episode of this show about retention and retaining your existing employees. But we're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials, or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of how to transform culture and build trusting teams in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, David Stanky, the National Manager of Property Operations with Progress Residential. David, you know, we talked last segment about recruitment of new employees, and then, you know, retention is a big issue these days. And I know that I've spoken with people in the industry. A couple of companies are doing some pretty unique things with, you know, either going to working all remote, where they have, you know, employees that are working remotely, even the on-site employees. And then there are other companies that have all these different things that they do for their employees, besides just, you know, paying them well, the, you know, with pet vacation days, and, you know, where if you lose a pet, you get to take a time off for that. All kinds of different things that are creative that I don't see a lot of people doing, but they have sub 10% turnover rates on those two companies, and it's pretty amazing. What are you seeing?
Yeah. The pet bereavement, I've seen that as well. And even if my company didn't have a pet bereavement, I take a regular bereavement because my dogs are my like my kids. So I think what's happening too is, you know, organizations are starting to realize what's important for their workforce. Again, I think the pandemic opened up a conversation that probably was a long time coming in terms of what can and can't be done in person versus remote. These hybrid roles, Paul, as we talked about, you know, how do they look? You know, in multifamily too, you know, I think about roles and I think about the positions, and obviously a lot of our on-site team doesn't have the flexibility to be, let's say, fully remote or even hybrid remote. But there's plenty of roles within multifamily that absolutely can. And, you know, even something very, very small, like, you know, years and years ago, the idea that, hey, you could have a manager work from home on a Thursday because they've got special arrangements with their kiddos. And, you know, even that idea of having them working remote one day a week was just unheard of. And now it's become so commonplace that we won't even have to ask. It would just be a natural conversation that, yeah, we'll just set that up as part of your overall kind of blended work-life balance, right? And so you see companies doing very unique things to help retain their people, because, again, I think we talk about the great resignation that is not yet over. But at one point, I mean, people were quitting their jobs at $4 million plus a month. I think I've seen recent surveys that show still 25% of people in the workforce are thinking about leaving their job within the next 4 to 6 months. And so, you know, why would that be the case? I mean, my parents, and we'll call it my parents and grandparents' generation, you know, you stay with one job your whole life and you earn a pension and you retire. And, you know, that was kind of the norm, where now, which is that's completely unheard of for most people. And so, you know, there's a dynamic between the new workforce generation of predominantly millennials and now Gen Z that we, as in I'll include myself as an elder millennial, you know, we value different things within the workforce. And so employers are having to respond to that. And, you know, thankfully, you know, the response is quite positive from the employee perspective. Most are wanting to have some flexibility and provide some remote work capabilities. The question has always been, can you get the job done? And for many people, if the answer is absolutely yes, because now I'm saving an hour or two of commute time and what have you, I can spend a little time with my kids throughout the day and be more flexible with my schedule and get the job done. Well, that's great. You know, but again, with multifamily in particular, how are we retaining our people along the way so we don't get into this constant wheel where we're having to recruit, train, replace? You know, what are we doing or what needs to be done in order to, you know, get to that point, Paul, where you mentioned where we have sub 10% turnover? And again, I think that goes back to building a strong bench. You know, do we have everyone within the organization that is set up for the next position? Do we have, you know, enough people that are engaged in getting others to the next position? So that way they're feeling completely engaged in the process. And, you know, I look at a few years ago, you know, I was with a company for almost 6 years, and just a fantastic organization, and they really invested in a lot of these extra programs that, you know, we mentioned in our culture conversation. I was so engaged during that time, I couldn't even think about looking at another company, because the company had invested so much into me, and I was invested into them. I was paid fairly, and I felt that I was part of the overall mission, that I didn't have time to even consider looking at other opportunities. And so, you know, one of the things that that they did was they launched this professional mentor program. And so, you know, you had to submit an essay if you wanted to be part of the program. You had to kind of, you know, demonstrate why you wanted to be part of the program, have one of your direct supervisors nominate you. And so it was a big to-do once you actually got picked. And, you know, we hired a third-party vendor to kind of help facilitate that process. And, you know, they would match a senior leader with an up-and-coming leader. And at the time, I was the up-and-coming. And so I got matched with someone on the maintenance side of our business, and it was a senior leader on that end. And, you know, I thought, okay, this is interesting, because I'm a leasing consultant and I'm being paired with a senior ops leader on the maintenance side. Okay. I thought naturally I'd just be, you know, paired with a regional manager or someone that's maybe on my side of the fence. But, you know, I trusted the process and I went through the whole program, and I gained so much insight from that, because again, I looked at things from a different perspective. The personality styles really fit. He was very complimentary in terms of what he could provide me and my growth. And I had someone now in my corner that I didn't have previously. And, you know, again, the best advice I've had kind of coming up was, you know, really take control of your own career and your own group of mentors that are in your corner. And so this was one more person that I was able to say, okay, I built this relationship with him. I've learned so much. I'm engaging and I'm learning. And, you know, nothing was promised to me. I wasn't going to automatically get a promotion or what have you. But, you know, I was gaining so much along the way that, you know, I was completely enamored in what we were doing and focused on our growth and focused on our organization. I couldn't even think about looking elsewhere. And I knew after the fact that, hey, that was a retention strategy, you know, outside of the traditional strategies of, you know, your quarterly check-ins or your yearly reviews. You know, that was a very intentional strategy to keep those of us that were looking to develop our careers in the game. And so, you know, I'd say on the retention side, obviously we've done a few new things in the industry to keep people engaged. But, you know, it does take intention, Paul, from the top down. These programs can't just be developed. They have to be provided. And the insight that comes from the team is, I think, very noteworthy. You know, if you're able to have feedback from the teams mentioning what is important for them and their growth, well, I think that's very important as well. Again, employee referral programs. A lot of companies have them. Are they successful? Are we getting lots of referrals coming in? There is information in the silence. And so are we able to gauge if those programs are successful based on the amount of volume that we have? So those are indicators, right? So if you want to know, hey, are these things successful? Well, you can see it, you can track that. But ultimately, you know, we know that this great resignation has opened up this very important dialogue, and it's going to continue in the years to come. The workforce has changed. You know, we have much more of a need for overall well-being. Most of our Gen Zs that are coming up don't live to work. And so, you know, taking all of that into consideration, we can balance performance with the happiness and well-being of the employee if we're able to kind of take these very intentional steps to ensure that, again, they're happy, they're feeling fulfilled. Because, again, you know, we're all part of a culture. If we're feeling valued and we're paid fairly and we have a plan for our careers, we have a professional roadmap in terms of where we want to go, and we have people that are invested in that roadmap for us, and we're taking the steps to get there, and we have people that are providing the insight and counsel to get us there, well, there's no reason why someone would want to leave. And so if we're asking those questions, then we're going to find those answers. And then hopefully, you know, in multifamily, where we traditionally have had a higher degree of turnover, people have maybe looked at this industry as like a stepping stone to something else. I think more recently we've taken this, our industry, so much more seriously. Our community managers are managing now, you know, $50 million assets. And our maintenance teams are the forefront of that asset preservation. They're the face of the community on, with respect to, you know, reputation management. And so we're realizing that, wow, there's so much more value here, and people are now seeing that this is an attractive career map that they can actually take part in. And hopefully that will provide for much higher levels of retention and keep our industry at the forefront of the job market where people are actually going to want and come and join us.
Well, we've got about a minute and a half left in the show. I want to transition from the topic. We could talk about it for another two segments, I'm sure. But I wanted to tell our listeners what you're doing now. You talked a little bit about how you got started in the industry in a previous segment. But in the last minute, tell our listeners what you're doing now and also how they can reach out to you if they'd like to contact you.
Yeah. So, you know, I spent the better half of my career in multifamily, working from leasing consultant up to regional manager and every kind of job in between. The last year, I've actually been in the single family built for rent space, which we have a ton of people coming from the multifamily space into single family. It seems like it's one big industry that's converging together. And I will say that, you know, single family and single family built for rent is really converging with the multifamily space. They're really part of the same comp set in many of these markets. And we've seen this develop from our horizontal builds that we see in a lot of our, you know, rural, more, you know, metro areas, build into these townhome that, you know, that are intentionally built with amenities and clubhouses, gathering areas, fitness centers. So we're seeing a lot of the same amenity programming that's really falling into both of these spaces. And, you know, and I say, you know, every time I meet somebody that comes over, I say, hey, what's your background? Oh, I work in multifamily. I said, yeah, I'm not surprised. So we're seeing a lot of this convergence between these two sectors in hopes of obviously fulfilling a very important need, which is housing. So
sure.
If anybody does want to get in touch with me, you know, best places on LinkedIn. I love being active on that platform. You can just search my name, David Stanky, and would love to connect and, you know, take it from there.
That's fantastic. Well, David, thank you so much for being on the show. We'd love to have you back again to talk about some more on these important topics to the industry. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.